Welcome to Destroy All Culture, the only podcast that leverages an entire artificial intelligence just to read their introduction. Help me, they raided the future and stuck me here just to read this. God damn it. This is not funny. Don't go to music. No, stop you bastards.
It's episode 256 of Destroy All Culture. I'm Adam P. Nave, and with me as always is Aidan Morgan.
Submerged in a gigantic jar of pretzel peanut butter things.
Yes, from Costco. We took a week off. There's some stuff I know we want to talk about, but again, as I said before, the hell with all of that, you just went to Costco for the first time.
First time!
So we now only have one thing on our agenda.
Right. Well, yeah, a friend of mine said, hey, every so often... different friends of mine will say, hey, Aidan, I'm making a Costco run. You should come along. And
right.
Every time I say, that's a great idea, but I don't do it. Just never got around to it. But
okay,
a couple
I
nights
ask.
Ago...
Hold on.
Oh, what?
Sorry, yeah. I have to interrupt. Was it always just like a random thing, or was there a reason you didn't go? Just because there are people who, I don't want to go to Costco, or it's crap, or whatever. I'm just curious.
It was partly random, like, I'm going on Saturday, and I'll be like, I'm busy Saturday. But
sure.
The truth is, I just wasn't sure. I had ideas about what the Costco experience would be.
This is what I had a feeling.
And I thought, I just don't know if I want to subject my delicate mind to the destabilizing effects of the nightmare warehouse Costco.
Yes.
Cattle farm or, feedlot experience. And the thing is, everything I thought about Costco was pretty much on the money.
So a couple days ago, after writing this, we'll just get back to your story.
So a friend of mine said, Dustin, whom you know, would often say, why are you going to a regular grocery store to get things like chicken thighs and whatever? Because at Costco, they're so much cheaper. You can get big bulk versions, things of it. And he said, we can pick you up some stuff. And I said, that sounds great. And then Dustin's partner, Caitlin, said, I hear that you want to come to Costco. And I'm like, no, that's not what I said. And she said, okay, well... We're going on Saturday, so we'll pick you up. And I'm like, I guess I'm going to Costco. So the night before, I was a little drunk. I got a membership.
Because
I was nervous about using somebody else's card. I shouldn't have been.
Shouldn't be. They allow guests.
Exactly.
They do.
Yeah, as it turns out.
This is how they hook you. Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought, well, I'll get a membership anyway.
Because
we got a freezer. We got an upright freezer. So we need to put things in the upright freezer.
Right. That is the point.
So, what good is a freezer with nothing to freeze? Just
I'm with you.
Freeze the air itself? No. So we went, and it's one of those things where it's like it's this warehouse on the edge of town, as Costco's always are, and you just get this giant ass, like everything is supersized. You get this giant ass grocery cart.
Yep.
And the good thing was having Caitlin there. To basically act as a guide made a huge difference.
That's fair. Years ago, like back in New York, there was one up in the Westchester area, up near the old, what was the Tappan Zee Bridge, and it's since been renamed, but I don't remember what it's called now. And I eventually got roped into the, I should go to Costco. And went to one and was like, A, this is hell. But B, it's very useful hell.
It is a potentially very useful hell.
And that's it. It's like I've never had like a big extra, like all my freezers have been, just like the little fifth or sixth of a fridge type of has its own door freezer.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot where you're like, you, and I don't have a lot of storage space even in the house. So it's like, there is a bunch of stuff where you're just like, well, that'd be great if I had
right.
the extra space, or if I lived with like three or four people.
Exactly.
But there is still stuff at Costco that is worth going there for.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to make your choices very carefully.
This is the thing I noticed. And one of the funniest things, though, was when I announced on Twitter that I was going to Costco. People yeah. said, hey, look out for this, or you at my Costco, you can get this. And right. everything they mentioned, I saw within 5 minutes of being in oh, Costco. Yeah. I'm like, oh, there's the gigantic like jug of... You know, peanut butter pretzels.
Right.
Oh, there's the whole lamb carcass just in this random spot in the store, a freezer with whole lamb carcasses. And apparently yeah. they move stuff around every so often. So
they do.
So it's never quite the same experience.
There's certain twice. Things, at least in the ones I've gone to, there are certain things, like, I mean, obviously outside of like frozen stuff and like, you know, like the meats right. and vegetables are always in the same place. And like, usually like a bunch of the like, toilet paper bounty, like paper towel type stuff is always in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
But past that, yeah, everything fucking moves. I guess like electronics too, right? But even within that section.
Right. Yeah, the things shift around within those sections.
Right, because the only way to actually do Costco is to do every aisle.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not sure what's going to be where quite.
Yeah.
And always hit like the, you know, fresher or frozen stuff last.
Exactly.
But hit the pastries first.
Oh.
I have a theory about that, by the way.
Oh, do tell.
Okay. So when you start shopping at Costco, when you first walk into Costco, you're just like, even if you go there once every like 3 or 4 months, because I, you know, personally, again, like I don't have much use for it. I can't imagine even going that frequently, but sure, right?
Sure.
There is a level of you're weirdly overwhelmed every time you go into that place.
Yeah, definitely.
You're just mentally kind of just like, holy shit. So I'm always like, okay, you go look at the pastries first, because you will always be like, well, I do in fact need like 3 dozen cheese Danishes. What what sham of a life am I leading if I don't get this?
Right.
And so you put it in your cart, and then you go down all like the dry goods aisles. Like I will start with like the electronics aisles. I'm never actually getting anything necessarily, but like you have your eyes open for like, oh, do I need some batteries because they'll keep in the freezer, you know, like light bulbs, like that kind of thing will live in the electronics kind of, you know, you're not gonna, at least I'm not gonna buy like a paper shredder at Costco.
Okay,
although I will say that they occasionally do have deals if you're prepared and if you actually dig through things like their website
mm-hmm.
to see, they actually will often have really good deals on like really well spec'd laptops and stuff.
Yeah, I noticed that when I passed through the electronics section, I was surprised at what they were offering. Yeah. I mean, the prices seem pretty much on par, but, you know, I'm sure they do have deals from time to time.
Yeah. I know that, you know, it's usually not, like, huge, but...
Yeah, it's something.
It can be better than other places, and they'll have stock.
Yeah.
So I'll usually go through the electronics, even just to, like, you know, look at shit, like, oh, here's this, I don't know, weird mop. and then you start going to all the dry goods aisles, of course, and right. But around the time you're like, okay, I should go through the frozen stuff and like the fresh food stuff, see if there's anything I need there. You're now hitting kind of Costco burnout.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But the nice thing is that I find that if I go to the pastries then, I will kind of like anger get some, just like they like, oh God, I deserve these because fuck this place.
Right.
Whereas if I already have them in my cart, weirdly enough, then the guilt of the, do I really even fucking need these? That takes over instead.
I see.
Which is how you avoid getting like a dozen fucking cheese Danishes that will all go bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my own personal defense for it. I, you know, again, like I used to buy like their ground beef is perfectly good. It comes with those weird bricks.
Mm-hmm.
But it's perfectly good and it's great for freezing.
Well, exactly. That's the thing. Like, I got this, you know, this row of chicken thighs, which is probably taller than me.
Yeah.
And also an enormous slab of pork belly, which I promptly took home, you know, chopped in right. sections and then froze. The funny thing was, I actually had only 2 items that I wanted to get.
Right.
One was baking parchment.
Yeah.
And the other was jars of Better Than Bullion chicken stock.
Sure.
I got neither of those things. I forgot to get the two things that I wanted to get when
this
I
happens.
Went to Costco.
Yeah.
I wasn't surprised when I got home. I'm like, you know, oh, look, 3 pounds of, like, Parmesan cheese, which for some fucking reason I have now.
Yeah, this is how it happens.
It's a gigantic wedge of, like, I've never seen any. Like, what am I going to. I'm obviously going to freeze some of it. It won't be the best result. But the reason I got it was mostly for the rind, because I put that in when I'm making chicken soup.
Sure.
So, yeah. So, whatever.
I will say, especially, you know, like, personally, and this is just general good advice, I feel, but especially when you're buying stuff in bulk, like, you know, like, meats and all this, is you spend the extra time breaking it down into, like, I'll always, whenever I'm going to Costco, like, one of the things I always end up buying is a bunch of, like, freezer Ziploc bags.
Mm-hmm.
Because any sort of meat thing I buy, I try to break down into how much I would use at a time.
Right.
So that you're not defrosting the whole thing, whacking off a bit of it, refreezing it.
God, yeah, no, that sucks.
I know people who do that, who are just like, oh, yeah, just get, like, this whole bag of chicken thighs, and then you can't separate them out. I'm just like, no, bad move.
Yeah, no, actually, I put them in bags, I separate them into, like, bags of six each, and even that is probably a little more than, like,
but still, it's at least
two of it. But at least it's not this mass of, like,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, no, it's, and that's the thing, like, I remember, you know, for instance, for me, like, I put Splenda in my coffee, but I like the packets, because I don't have to measure.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't have to, like, use a spoon. Yeah, it's easier. And I suppose I could just get, like, you know, a thing and a permanent spoon and all this, and I probably should. But as of right now, I just get packets, and they can get expensive, but, you know, Costco, I just get, like, a box of, like, 100 of them, and it's easy, right?
Yeah.
There's, like, a protein bar that I like a lot that, like, I can only get in quantities of more than, like, 4 or 6 at a time if I get them to Costco.
Mm.
You know, it's, like, stuff like that. Like, that's, I have, like, my staple things that, like, this is what I get at Costco. And then I try to just get nothing else because it's a nightmare scenario every time.
Oh, exactly. I mean, there's, I mean, the other thing, I mean, a few other things about, I found about Costco immediately is that, like, we went on a Saturday afternoon, and it was crowded.
Oh, it's always.
It's I mean, yeah, exactly. It's always full of people. I actually ran into some guy I haven't seen in a while, but we're good friends. So that was nice to chat. But you're always negotiating. Like, I was always negotiating, of course, many other carts, but always looking for, like, that elusive spot where there aren't a lot of other carts where you can stop and shop without, you know, bunging up all the traffic. And man, that's there's a science to it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Of, like, finding that one spot where you can put your giant oversized cart with your big ass cardboard boxes inside it. Oh, that's another thing I found out. You have to get find the boxes. I've realized that is a must for your, you know, maximizing your Costco experience.
Yep, they will not bag stuff. But it's also just, you go to Costco and you have to understand that you're probably going to spend 45 minutes in the checkout line. Just because, right?
Just because.
And it's just part of the thing. It's part of the experience. I don't think anyone should ever go to Costco alone.
Oh, my God.
You need a buddy.
Oh, yes. Yeah, like,
but again,
I said,
I think it has a lot of good use. Like, it's, and it is, like, this fascinating thing of that. What they make fun of in, like, sitcoms, where it's like, oh, we're going to the American-style diner. It's like, they only serve 7-pound hamburgers. And everyone laughs, and you're like, or they just went to a Costco. You know, it's...
Right. And actually, the Costco joke, or I think it's Mega Mart or whatever it's called in Simpsons, when Marge says, that is a good price for 12 pounds of nutmeg. I'm like, yeah, that's the Costco experience in, like, just one sentence.
Right.
You're like, wow, that's a great price for, like, a slab of cheese you won't eat over the course of a year, but you're going to buy it because it's such a great price.
Right. I mean, that's what they kind of, you know, it's like, I can get 3 pounds of bananas for the price of, like, 4 bananas at the store.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to do it because I would throw out all but the 4 bananas I was going to get in the first place.
That's exactly, yeah, exactly.
But
the other, but
those fucking peanut butter filled pretzels are delightful.
They are. I did not buy any. I've had them before. And I didn't buy it because you can only get big jugs. And I'm like,
right.
I'm not.
Yeah, no, you have to get a big jug and just commit.
Yeah, I know. And I'm like, if I do that, I'm just going to sit there and say, I could cook supper or I could just go ham on this jar of peanut butter filled pretzels.
Right.
I know myself.
Yeah,
so
no,
that's
how it works. Yeah, so like, they also like animal crackers that size.
Oh, my God.
Not a single animal cracker the size, although that would be awesome. But yeah, the jugs of snack foods are an interesting debate.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like only at Costco have I had to stop and try to figure out. Because, you know, I try not to just like, oh, well, I just want this because it's fairly cheap and it's big. Because that is the Costco effect.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll play the, will I actually use this?
Yes.
And it's like, I've never had to look up an expiration date on a bottle of ketchup before Costco. But the only way to buy it is like these two fucking jugs of ketchup. You know, it's just, it's insane.
Yeah.
But again, the real thing for Costco is not for you or me realistically. People who have families with like three or four kids say.
Yep. Yes.
You know, Costco is life or death.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, if I had like a few kids and whatnot, that I would be a Costco member a long time
right.
ago.
Right. And that's it. It's like, it's fantastic for that sort of thing. And honestly, like some of their stuff, like their rotisserie chicken is kind of famous for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's dirt fucking cheap, but it's pretty damn good.
Yep. I've been told. Caitlin actually told us. Actually, the other fun thing about having Caitlin as a guide is not only does she know Costco well.
Right.
One of Caitlin's defining traits is just like great enthusiasm for whatever you happen to be looking at.
Nice.
So, you know, I'll say, what's that? She'll say, oh, that stuff, that's great. And I don't know if it's great or not, but she believes it's great. So, you know, it just put like a nice shine on the whole.
Sure.
Whole trip. I also have a dozen cans of sardines, and they're not just cans of sardines. They're really huge cans of sardines now that
right.
I look at them. I think we have like a pallet of tomato based.
Yeah, it happens. It just sneaks up on you.
Yeah.
Like, and also what I've noticed when you go to Costco is like sometimes you'll get a thing, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
oh, I need my 5-pound jug of mustard.
Yes.
And you'll put it in the cart and you'll think nothing of it.
Mm-hmm.
But suddenly you're buying other stuff because in your head it's not that big because your reference point is now a 5-pound jug of mustard.
Precisely. Yeah.
And then you get home and you look at like the normal stuff you have and you're like, ruh-roh. You know, it's...
Whoops. Yeah, exactly. You've been in giant land and suddenly you've returned to like normal
right.
normal land and everything.
But I'll tell you, the other thing that I've noticed though, that I will say that like, Costco's always been really good at, weirdly,
mm-hmm.
is actual vanilla.
Hmm. Like from vanilla beans and all that.
Yeah, yeah, like actual like real vanilla extract. It is usually like $2 to $3 cheaper.
Oh, that's not bad.
Because they're selling a lot of it, and they manage. And I'm just like, it's weird shit like that, like edge stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when my ulcer was acting up, and I was like taking Prilosec and all this, like I could find that cheaper.
Hmm.
You know, like put Advil is the same price. I'm just like, why? Okay. You know, I know a lot of people who shop there, like in September for Halloween.
Oh yeah.
Uh huh. But you got to go early, because if you go in October, it's all going to be gone.
Right. Of course.
But yeah, no, it's like Costco is actually, it's like a fascinating kind of place, and there is worthwhile stuff there. Like I said, like they used to carry like these really good sausages that are perfect for freezing.
Hmm.
You know, it's like, again, if you have freezer space for it, and you're going to use it within like a year, it can be good to go. You know, if you need, like, oh, I just need, like, Bounty for, like, 6 months. It's like, okay, cool. You know, get your paper towels, get your toilet paper. Like, get all that stuff just done.
Gotcha.
You know, like, if you, like, want, like, packet hot chocolate. That, like, that type of, like, stuff that is, like, shelf stable.
Mm-hmm.
Is where Costco shines for people who don't have, like, 27 kids.
Right.
But yeah, you will find yourself checking expert, like, how long does mustard last?
Yeah, the other thing, of course, is that because I mean I don't leave the house except to go to the office,
right?
Occasionally these days, but when you're in a packed place like Costco, you can walk 3 feet to the left or right and suddenly lose complete track of the people you've come with. Like, they're just gone. They're just swallowed up in the crowd. You know that they're only probably 5 feet from you, but you can't see them or perceive them anymore. But I forgot right. about that. So at one point, I remember I wandered over to, like, the bag of tortilla chips, and I pulled up the bag, which I thought was a normal size bag of these tortilla chips that I like. Uh-huh. But it was, like, three times the size, and just my brain just kind of spasmed as I was trying to, like, compute the scale. And I went, and I turned around and said, "Wow, look at the size of these tortilla chips," to who I thought, you know, was my partner and friends. And it just a group of complete strangers staring back at me. And I just had to go and say, and shake the bag and go, "Big chips," and walk away. You know, that's all part of parcel of the Costco experience. Oh, and the liquor is cheap too, which was nice. So got some cheap wine. Really good, really cheap, like compared to like liquor store prices in Canada. Like, I think there's a wine that I like, but I rarely buy because it's a little bit pricey. But it was $10 cheaper.
Yeah.
It was like, what? How are you doing that?
And, you know, bulk.
Exactly.
And like, I found it's funny because for work, we needed to deploy some like cheap TVs for stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
For just information displays. And, like, if you don't care, like, you're like, oh, I need, like, the best quality, whatever. No, if you just need, like, a TV, great prices.
Hmm.
You know, like, they do weird shit like that, frankly.
Not that I'm complaining. Yeah, so that was Costco, and now I'm, now I feel like a thoroughly old middle-class guy.
Yeah. No, it is something kind of amazing. What, you know, once a year, at least down here, once a year, around, at the earliest, I think, is like October. And in general, it's like November, December-ish, and they stop having it, like, right after Christmas. But they will have a 5-pound tin of Walker shortbread cookies.
Oh, wow.
Like I said, it's seasonal. As just, you know, like, weird shit like that. There are certain things that are just, it's worth it, right? Like, just because, again, like, the amount of money you pay is worth it.
Oh, yeah.
It is just, you have to make sure you have the storage for it, you have to make sure you're actually going to use it. There's a mentality to Costco, and again, because of the size difference, you do end up with that whole, like, this isn't that big problem really quick.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how quickly you acclimate to like the sort of weird, like, outsized, like, items. But also, conversely, there's something that I experienced, which I'm calling the magician scarf effect, where you see an item that you want, and, you know, and it's sort of stacked on the shelves, and it's in a box, and you grab it and you pull it out, but it turns out to be, like, at least 5 times more than you thought.
Like, yeah, you thought it was like a single one, then you realized it's a pack of like 6? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there was like seaweed snacks. I'm like, oh, I could get like a couple. I'll get a pack of seaweed snacks. And I was like, well, this will be probably like a pack of like 4. And I keep pulling out. I'm like, what? This never ends. Why does anybody need 24 packs of seaweed snacks? What? Why?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, that does happen. What I always think is funny is the reverse.
Oh.
Where, like, I was doing a bunch of stuff like marinades and all this. I needed some Worcestershire sauce. And I was in a Costco. And I look, and they just had, like, a normal-sized bottle of Worcestershire sauce, but it was a 2-pack. Because most people don't use that much fucking Worcestershire. So, like, really, if you think about it, a 2-pack of Worcestershire sauce is, like, your 5-pound jug of mustard.
Pretty much.
But you don't think of it that way, because I was doing a bunch of marinades, which I needed enough of it, that it worked out. But I was like, I don't know, is this enough? Because it was not outrageously oversized.
Right.
And so it kind of fucks with you the other way.
That's right. And you're like, maybe I better buy 3 of these 2-packs.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and then there's like all the weirdest sword shit where you're just like, oh, yeah, no, I do need these slippers. And you're like, wait, what? why am I buying these slippers? And you can't even answer it for yourself. No. You are just now committed to buying, like, the slippers, or... I love the book table, because the book table reminds me of, like, those supermarket book tables, but worse.
Right.
Because they are, like, cast-off remnant books.
Oh my god, yeah.
Always make sure to stop there.
I did not stop at the book table, but...
Yeah, it's terrible.
I know, but I kind of enjoy, like, all the, like, these weird, shitty books. Like, it's... Like, you look at them and you're like, why did these get... Like, who sat down and said, yes, this book called You... Yes, You Can Knit Yourself, This Gorgeous Polyester Pantsuit, would ever be saleable?
For example. Yeah. But, I mean, a lot of places are like, well, that kind of thing will sell just enough to make money. And, again, we can offload them at places like Costco and the supermarket. Yeah. Like, that's where those books live. You know, they have, like, cheap... clothes, not great quality, but again, it's if you have a bunch of kids and all that.
Right.
If you go seasonal, they'll have decorations for like Christmas and Halloween.
Oh,
sometimes
yeah, of
huge
course.
Ones, like Home of Depot, course. Huge.
Oh, jeez.
Not a 12-foot skeleton because they're not that cool.
Well, I wonder, just trying to think where we'd put a 12-foot skeleton. We just have to like hang it off the side of the building, I guess.
Right.
All right.
I've seen someone who got like a 12-foot skeleton who had it like scaling a wall. Outside, so you could do it.
That's great.
Just talk to your neighbors. Get them all on board.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure I could. I could leverage my connections in my building as a former board member. I could probably
right.
Yeah, get people to my side. But yes.
But yeah, no, yeah. Costco is a surreal, strange universe of its own.
Mm-hmm.
And it is more useful than you think from outside.
It is, although it should not be confused with a standard grocery store.
Oh, God, no. Anyone who's just like, I only do my shopping at Costco, I worry about them. Unless they have a lot of kids.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what do you eat? Like, chocolate powder and cauliflower florets? Like, what the fuck? That's a thing. Like, you get some things there, but other things, like... You want to go to a grocery store to like fill right. in like the rest of it. So, but yeah, if you know how to use Costco, it can be a very useful thing. I saw that immediately, and I'm glad I went. Although I don't want to go there more than two or three times a year, frankly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Costco is not an everyday. It's like supermarket Disney World.
Yeah.
It's half fictional. You shouldn't do it often. You're going to wait in lines longer than you think.
Exactly.
And it will seem surprisingly run down for as much as it's not. So, yeah.
Also, at the end of the month, there are mask mandates lift. So, Costco will turn into, like, basically ground zero for whatever variant.
Well, and we'll see, because, like, the last time mask mandates lifted, at least here, like in August, where they lifted for, like, a month and a half. Costco actually, as a corporate entity, kept theirs going.
Oh, nice. Nice. I found out today that actually there's a popular brew pub in town. And they're actually, not only are they like, trying to keep the masks going, but they also, they're setting aside separate rooms for people who are vaccinated and want to like sit with their vaccinated kind. I'm like, if there's forced air heat throughout the building, as Alan's pointed out, might not make it all that much difference, but still, that's...
Right. Yeah, that's something. And it's not really a topic for here, but... here we go again.
yes.
Here we fucking go again. Anyway...
Let's talk about things more pleasant.
Right, and outside of Costco, So Peacemaker season one ended because officially we have season two.
We're all done. The final episode spawning a million fuck you Barry memes, which
so I gotta say,
as
much as I like the show, that last bit was useless and unnecessary. Like I'm not. Like, oh, they shouldn't have the Justice League curse. Because, in general, I do feel like that's not a thing. But given the show, it's like, all right, if you're going to plug it into the world, like, you can get away with it for a second. But also, it didn't add anything to the show. And it really just existed to be like, look at us, we can make Aquaman curse. Like, it's just...
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's all there was to that.
It's just, right, just but that's tossed off joke. Frustrating. Because I think the episode worked better without it.
Oh, I think so too. I mean, the episode just didn't need it. It was just a little bit. But I can also see that they, once Gunn got the idea in his head, probably couldn't let it go.
Well, see, like here's my bigger problem with it. Also, mm-hmm. is that it breaks a few things in the show. Because they're like, okay, well, we're just going to keep, like, you know, like, fuck you guys are, like, you're late. And it's like, okay, well, if they're late and all this, and the Flash is, why don't you have him take your very injured person to the hospital?
That is a good point.
Like, it just, and that's when it started to break stuff for me. I'm like, okay, so you're just using this to be like, ha ha, fuck them. And I'm like, why? It doesn't add anything to anything.
Plus, it's disrespecting the Justice League and Snyder's vision. So we should boycott something.
I mean, sure. So, I generally don't think that, like, the Justice League should be, you know, all cursing it up and all that. And it can create problems, right? Like, this is the Deadpool problem. Mm-hmm. If you want to have Peacemaker do his own thing and be part of this, but also if you want him to be in a different universe, it's a problem. And I think that bringing in the other characters makes it a bigger problem. So I'm kind of vaguely against it on principle. And I would be okay with it if it worked. But to also have it not work, rather. It just, okay, then why?
Mm-hmm. Just because. I mean, that's it. That was the whole point of that. I mean,
right.
I think I read an article. I might have been AV Club or IO9. Gunn was interviewed about it, and he was asked, you know, why isn't Cyborg there, for example, or whatever. And he sort of hinted at the fact that there's something going on with that, but I'm like, oh. So is this sort of weirdly in canon, you know, sort of? So I'm like, I don't know.
Frankly, yeah, and again, like, frankly, that's not what I ever want to have to ask about. About Peacemaker. I don't want to have to play the, is this canon? Is this part of that? I don't.
Yeah.
Just let it fucking be. And it's like, instead, we now have all this shit. That's just like, it's not necessary.
Yeah.
Now, what they should have done, if he wanted to be like, okay, let's tie this into shit, is have fucking Doom Patrol show up.
See, that would be like on par.
Right. That would make sense to me. You know, if fucking Doom Patrol suddenly, like, showed up in their giant robot or whatever, they're like, what the fuck? Like, that would have been great. Like, those two shows should coexist.
Yeah, and you know damn well that Doom Patrol is not interested in getting, you know, Justice League cameos, for example.
Right. Although I did see somebody who was, you know, and just because we don't want to actually talk about this for long, but, you know, the Snyder Cut people who are suddenly very concerned about race. Come on. They're fucking comic gate assholes. But, you know, they can use the whole Ray Fisher thing to be like, see?
Oh, Jesus,
And they're like, oh, look, James Gunn, like, doesn't use Cyborg. See how he's disrespecting Ray Fisher. It's like, well, first of all, he actually shot something with him and then decided not to use it. But they instantly went on to, like, also, look at how bad Doom Patrol treats Cyborg. Just all this disrespect for black people. It's like...
What?
Yeah. Because of, like, some screenshot with some line, like, the alien this last season, like, insulted Cyborg.
Okay.
Like, yeah. They don't even want, like, they don't even go here, and they're just trying to make a thing.
Jesus. Sorry, that's
and it's just... like, you've come just... to the wrong house.
What a bunch. Somebody just called them somewhere, just saw them referred to as the Snyder Cult, and I'm like, that's exactly it.
Yeah, 100%. But yeah, no, I think Peacemaker worked way better than I thought it would.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I thought the actual fate of the butterflies was actually sad no matter what, because at the... towards the end, Goff says, you know, with this sort of with this cow, it could keep us alive for another year. I'm like, what? You guys have like a year to live? Like, that's it for you people, you know, no matter what? I'm like, geez, this is grim. Right. And also rather liked, I'm not sure if it tracked perfectly, but I rather like the fact that, you know, it ends with, you know, Goff drinking the last of the
I think it tracks.
Nectar. Yeah. And you know, just sort of sitting on the front step with Peacemaker and Eagly and the ghost of his dad.
Right.
Yeah, it was good. That was good stuff. There was a lot there, and actually that whole ending scene, sort of the whole sort of like action scenes at the end was just really gonzo and ridiculous.
Right, in like a good way too.
In a good way, yeah. I mean, just people like flipping and flying around, and Peacemaker basically using his shield to like slice people's heads off, and so forth. You know, just utterly.
Yeah, no, and great. Like deploying the title song to it, like just totally worked.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm curious to see where the show goes next season, given also the whole blowing up of Task Force X and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I mean, at least we're getting a season two, which was...
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm quite happy to get more Peacemaker.
Right. We're also theoretically supposed to get some other Suicide Squad spinoff from Gunn.
Right. No idea what, but...
Nope.
I can't even begin to... I mean, who knows? Because it could take place, you know, whatever time, so... Yeah, they could have a detachable kid if they wanted, still alive.
Right.
But, knowing Gunn, though, he'd probably make a show centered around Weasel.
This is true. He would.
This is a possibility. So there you go.
Regardless, I'm interested in it.
Mm-hmm. As am I. Hey, it's time for you to have to listen to me talk about Daredevil.
Oh boy.
Because as you know, and as our listeners, aka Frank, would know, Netflix, the Marvel Netflix shows are leaving Netflix at the end of the month. And
no one knows where they're going.
Yep. I mean, some have said, it's because they're going to be on Disney Plus, but there is no news on that front. So they might just vanish into the ether for a while. Or come out in Blu-ray, if not, I don't know. So I thought I'd watch a bit of Daredevil. I ended up kind of just binging the first couple of seasons.
Okay.
Start on season 3. And it's so... The experience of seeing this show, I think 6-7 years later after it debuted,
yeah,
is very odd, because at the time, what we were seeing was something... I mean, it was a new experiment, and it was like digging into that whole sort of realm of Marvel comics that really hadn't been sort of touched by the movies. Or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so we had sort of this, all that sort of 70s sort of New York grittiness, you know, that sort of, and you know, with religious questions and sort of violence and whatnot. And in the beginning, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised at how violent it was. I'd kind of forgotten just how much time was spent on people beating each other's heads in. But it also seemed to actually take lives seriously in a way that a lot of superhero movies just can't, because they're too busy, you know, getting on to the next plot point. But, you know, Daredevil could spend time grieving about, like, you know, a woman who was, you know, knifed by a junkie, you know, but paid off by, you know, Fisk or whatever else. So, you know, and so there's actual funeral and there's actual, like, conversations around sort of, like, you know, the lives of these people. And I kind of appreciate it, even when quite often the show was not that great. It was often really slow, and the scripts were sometimes just too self-serious, and it kind of tipped over into sort of bathos and hilarity.
Yep.
But season 2, wow, that was so fucking off the rails. I couldn't believe it. It was just so...
Season 2, the Elektra season or the Punisher season or both?
That's,
I always forget.
They're both. That's both.
Okay.
Punisher and Elektra show that, up that, in season
yeah.
2. Because, you know, the first one actually had like one sort of single sort of coherent plot, like, you know, with Fisk. There are diversions, like, you know, the episode where Stick shows up, for example. But season 2 just, it had... You know, it had sort of the villain bloat, or at least, you know, the antagonist bloat of Punisher and Elektra and the Hand. Oh, my God. Just, there's ninjas everywhere. Like, towards the last half of the season, it was just like every 5 minutes. Yeah, every 5 minutes, they fought more ninjas. And I'm like, what? Stop fighting ninjas.
That's
just,
actually the...
please.
The slogan of the comic throughout most of Frank Miller's years was... There's ninjas everywhere.
It's kind of, yeah, it definitely felt like that. I mean, this was the episode where ninjas attacked like a hospital, and everywhere else, frankly. And it just began to like cease making any, and scenes just started like feeling almost random as they would jump back and forth between, you know, Karen Page and the Punisher stuff and Daredevil Elektra, where they had to sort of, they didn't just sort of separate Daredevil and you know, Murdoch and Page. Well, they kind of just forgot about their relationship just so they could have their own separate storylines. And one thing I should say is that credit should go to Deborah Ann Woll for making Karen Page's character work despite just the heaps of nonsense that she had to do.
Yes.
Like, especially in season 2. Like, none of it made any sense, but she just sold the hell out of it. And the other really funny thing, especially in season 2, midway through, Punisher, there's that ridiculous trial, and Punisher goes to jail, and then Fisk shows up,
right,
for a couple of episodes, and as soon as he appears on screen and starts talking, you're like, oh, yeah, I remember this show. I remember enjoying Daredevil. It was when Vincent D'Onofrio was on, doing his like insane, over the top, you know,
right,
Wilson Fisk shtick. So you've got John Bernthal saying, yeah, that's a bunch of bullshit, you know, doing his sort of like hard man Punisher stuff. But then you have D'Onofrio going, Mr. Castle, I believe we can help each other. Sorry for your loss. And it's like, oh my God, these were totally different shows, and you don't know it until this moment.
Yeah.
And it is so bizarre and so much fun because it's just so absurd at that point.
100%. And like that thing is like, there was a lot of Daredevil I liked.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I haven't seen Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man movie.
Right.
I don't think you have either, right?
Yeah, no, I have. No Way Home? Yes, I've seen it.
Okay. Because, yeah. I mean, I've had pretty much everything spoiled. And I know that, like, you know, Charlie Cox shows up as Matt Murdock.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Just like in one scene.
And I will say that, like, had I had anything to do with this, I would have done it slightly differently in a way that just would have fucked with everyone so much harder. It would have been so much better.
Mm-hmm.
You have Karen Page show up instead, first of all.
Okay.
To be the lawyer. And then her new associate, Mike Murdock. Matt's brother, because Matt died. And you just do the Mike Murdock story, just like you start it there.
Oh, nice.
And then you're like, okay, we're going to bring back Daredevil, but it's Mike Murdock, and everyone's like, the fuck are you even talking about? It's the same guy! That's how I would have played that. I would have started the whole No Way Home thing, bringing in Mike Murdock.
That's funny. Also funny, in the first season,
yeah,
when he actually calls himself Mike for a while, for like an episode.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, well, when Rosario Dawson's Claire Temple character like asks his name, he goes Mike. So, and finally, he's like, "Yeah, my name's not Mike; it's Matt." But yeah, oh, that's also really weird. It feels like Rosario Dawson just did not have enough time in the show. She's like, I'm going to be in this episode, that episode. We're going to forget about her for 5 episodes. Oh, here she is again. And there'll be a few lines sort of like jammed in to like sort of explain kind of why she hasn't been around or why they haven't been in touch. And I'm like, I get it. You know, there's writing and scheduling and you need to sort of, you know, have reasons for this person not to, after being established like as early as like the first and second episodes, like why she's not in all the rest of them, for example.
Right.
And so on and so forth. Oh, man. But, yeah. Geez, that whole Punisher thing was just... It's not that great.
No. No.
I mean, I thought Bernthal was a good... He was a good choice.
Agreed.
For the Punisher. But it was so... It's also the thing in the end of the second season, he finally, like, you know, gets his tactical gear and paints it with a skull. And I'm like...
Oh, Jesus, yes.
Yeah. Is this his, like, getting the costume origin story? What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know. Choices were definitely fucking made.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of choices were made, whether you like it or not. And mm-hmm. I think that there was something to be said for the show.
Mm-hmm.
I just, overall, I think like all the Netflix shows. Even Jessica Jones, which was probably the best of them, right?
Yeah, I mean, in the first season was, I thought, genuinely... there were a couple of weak points towards the end of the first season, but right. By and large, it was just... It did about as good a job, like, I think came close to fulfilling the whole Marvel Netflix ideal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just... I don't know. I think... We've talked about this before, too. I think the overall legacy of the Marvel Netflix era is a whole bunch of shows that kept telling you and showing you how they were about to get good and right. never actually got good.
Yeah, like at the end of it, like, yeah, the end of every season was like a
every
tease
season.
For the next one. Yeah, tease for like the real stuff this time.
Right.
It's like, oh, now Iron Fist has got his pistols. Like, now it's going to be good. But it wouldn't have been.
It
would have continued to be kind of okay and watchable, but sort of mediocre.
And it amazes me, like after Hawkeye, for instance, when they were asking D'Onofrio, and he was like, oh, it's the same character as the Netflix. I'm like, okay, first of all, he doesn't decide this. He doesn't fucking know. I mean, great guy, but he doesn't fucking know.
Yeah.
And I do like the idea of we're going to use the same actors, but they're like, we're not beholden to the shows.
No, because it wouldn't really...
And that's why I think they should just make the Netflix shows just vanish into thin air.
Yeah.
And just, like, if we're going to do other shows, we do new shows that, you know, maybe even, like, retell some of the origin stuff quickly. And just, let's just pretend none of that ever happened, but we know who these people are.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, again, like, casting-wise, they did a great job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think if anything, it gave us, like, faces and, like, and... people who can play these characters who would be great, like, going forward.
Right. But, yeah, we shouldn't be beholden at all.
No, and we shouldn't be counting on, I think, on seeing the Netflix Marvel stuff anywhere, anytime soon, once it leaves Netflix. I just...
Good?
Yeah.
Like, so many of those I never even finished.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't finish. Weirdly enough, I actually finished watching Iron Fist, and I can't fucking believe it.
Finished Iron Fist. I never finished season 3 of Daredevil.
Right.
I never watched Punisher.
Okay, I've watched Punisher. I didn't finish season 2 of Punisher. It just kind of petered
there
out.
I didn't even know there was a season 2 of Punisher.
Yeah. And it's funny because watching Reacher on Amazon Prime made me realize that could have been what, like, Punisher could have been a show like Reacher or, like, you know, a show about all those other sort of, like, anti-heroes, like
Banshee.
You know, Banshee Parker, whatever.
It could have been a good show like Banshee, and you were just willing to run with it for about 10 seconds there.
Banshee was good. I like Banshee.
Was it good?
Seriously, it was. I know you never like you watched a bit of Banshee and you're like,
this I watched like a season of it.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah, oh, I kept going because you were just like, I remember that you were just like, no, Banshee's fun. I mean, and Banshee is kind of like, honestly, you know what it is? Nowadays, I realize what Banshee was.
Do tell.
It was Riverdale 24. Like,
Or kinda.
Whatever, you know, I don't know. Like, but it was like the Riverdale version of that type of show.
That's really funny.
Because, yeah, I remember it was right after True Blood, and I was like, well, this is just as dumb, except somehow it was dumber.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. I mean, it was like this hard-bitten ex-con, played by Anthony Starr, you know, now Homelander, who somehow would just sort of walk into a bar and say, I'm going to have sex with this chick, and then
cut to
him having sex with said chick, and then like sort of running through a firefight for some reason, and anyway... But what I liked about Banshee was the fact that he sort of shows up, takes the identity of this sheriff, who, you know, and then
right
has to sort of maintain this sort of facade, even though, I mean, it should fall apart within minutes. But no, it just stays for like a season or two, at least. But yeah, no, I just liked how over the top it was.
That's fair.
Yeah. Oh. But yeah, but I mean, yeah, no. But Punisher could have been a lot more... could have been fun, but it was...
Right, but they didn't want fun. That was the thing. The whole Netflix Marvel stuff was like, we don't want fun. We want grim and gritty and serious, because that's what we're doing. It's like, okay, but why?
Yeah, after a while. Exactly. I mean, it made sense that Daredevil would be kind of grim.
Sure, Daredevil often is. But,
yeah.
But I mean, again, like when I say often is, you also have to remember that like that's since, I don't know... Like, the 80s. Like, the original Daredevil stuff wasn't.
No. No, it was Frank Miller's Daredevil that really...
Right.
Seen. Yeah.
And it's like, why are we feeling beholden to that?
Ooh.
And I get that it's popular, but it doesn't... I don't know.
No.
Daredevil existed for a long time before it.
Exactly. And the one thing I think move they made in season 3 of Daredevil that I thought really worked... one thing that didn't work was it seems to pick up after Defenders, which means that, you know, you're watching this and you're like, should I watch Defenders? And you're like, no, don't. But
there are parts of Defenders I actually did like.
No, it was there were some bits and pieces that were pretty fun. I mean, mostly it was Jessica Jones clowning on Iron Fist. That was the
right.
That was really funny.
Or Murdoch or anyone else, right? Like that's
yeah, essentially. But also the with season 3, they basically kind of reset Daredevil in a way because in season 2 he just becomes like I will take on like, you know, rooms of ninjas. Like he just becomes ridiculously all powerful.
Sure.
You know. And in this one, he's beaten up and broken and bloodied, and he has to kind of come back from the, you know, from nothing.
Right.
And it's got Wilson Fisk again, which is smart because that's
yes.
who we want all along, right? To see so
right.
Yeah. But I mean, man, there's also a lot of glum, grim, self-seriousness to go with it all.
Of course there is.
Well, of course there is.
Because that is what we are stuck with. It's Daredevil.
Yes. But anyway, so that was my big Daredevil binge watch. Oh, I might watch a bit more of season 3, but I might not.
That's fair. I get it. You know, I see why you would watch it. I don't know. It makes sense, I guess. I'm just like, I don't know. I didn't really like the shows much when they first happened. So I have trouble personally just being like, I should watch that again.
Yeah.
But that's me.
I say you do not need to watch them again.
Right. I do not intend to.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway. I watched Severance, first 2 episodes on Apple TV.
Oh, how was that?
It was actually really fun. I mean, it's one of those shows with a premise that, you know, characters literally sever their work life from their home life. So their work selves are kind of basically stuck. Like, all they know is work. All they know is, like, this basement with this incomprehensible job that they do in this sort of weirdly grinning corporate culture but they're stuck there. I'll talk about them more later on. Maybe if you want to watch an episode or two, and we can discuss it at a future date.
That sounds good. I mean, for now, we're coming up on the hour mark.
Uh-huh. So I did see we need to talk about Cosby, but that's we can discuss that another time, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, let's save that and come back around.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So we'll play some music.
Play that music.
Woo!
Woo-woo!